10, verses 11 through 21. I'm just going to ask us to stand just for the reading of God's word today. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 21. We were here in John chapter 10 last week, where we talked about how Jesus says, I am the door, or I am the gate, and how anyone who comes to him will experience life and life more abundantly. But here he continues the same train of thought in John chapter 10, verse 11. And here's what it says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Verse 14, here's what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue our series, I'm Him, where we're talking about these different declarations that Jesus makes about himself. But I want to preach from this theme and thought today. He's got you covered. He's got you covered. Tell the person beside you, he's got you covered. Come on, find somebody else. Shout it across the room. He's got you covered. He's got you covered. Come on, type it in the chat. He's got you covered. Father, we thank you for your favor and grace. We thank you for your word that you're going to share with us today. I pray that you would give us wisdom and clarity as we open up our hearts and as we open up our minds. God, would you speak to us in a fresh way and in a new way? We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. You all can be seated. He's got you covered. Now, family, I'm going to be honest with you. One of the things that is so prevalent right now is that we live in this age that I like to call the age of influencers. And in case you're not familiar maybe with that terminology, if you will, but this term influencers is coined by many people and many organizations and things of that nature. People have defined influencers as people or a person who is regarded as an expert within their particular field that also has a steady following. An expert, if I say expert, in a certain field who may have a large following of different kinds or a small following, but a steady following. And what I've realized about this age that we live in, family, is that many people want to be influencers. Social media influencers on television, radio, different personalities, things of this nature. But it seems to me that being an influencer is something that many people ascribe to be. Like if you ask somebody today, you know, ask some younger generation or younger people, whatever the case may be, you ask people, what do you want to be when you grow up? A lot of people are saying things like, I want to be an influencer when I grow up. What they're really saying is, I want to have a whole bunch of people on social media and I want people to follow me. I'm going to be able to have a platform where I can share, you know, my thoughts and things of this nature. And it's interesting because as we live in this overly saturated time of influencers, there's influencers all kinds of social media, as I mentioned, there's radio, there's TV. Not all of it is bad. Some of it is legit. But the opposite is also true. There's a lot of voices and there's a lot of quote-unquote influencers that are not credible in nature. There's a lot of people who claim to have some type of expertise, but in all actuality have none at all. So you got people that say stuff like, I'm going to teach you how to get rich, but they're in debt. I'm going to teach you how to have a successful relationship, but they've been married like 5 times and the relationship never ended good. Right? Like you got people who say things like, I'm going to teach you how to get in shape and how to have, you know, how to get your summer bod and all this type of stuff. And they got muscles just popping out all over the place. But they're not telling you that they're on HGH and steroids. It's crazy, y'all. Like people just kind of claim to have this expertise and all this. I remember I was recently have found out about this social media influencer, and he was somebody who was in the fitness world, and he was really well known. Some of y'all may know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say who this person is, just out of respect, but I will state the fact. And this person was very, very well known, and they were known to be like this you know, fitness guru and junkie. And I mean, they were swole patrol, just muscles popping out everywhere, veins just coming out of necks and foreheads and just eyeballs. It was just like, dude was just swole. I was just like, dude, this dude is jacked. Like, what in the world? Right? And he was known for being this guy who would consume, like, you know, raw types of foods and animal foods and stuff like that. It was actually a part of his name, his mantra, his brand, if you will. And so people will always be like mesmerized with this guy because he was so swole and he was so, you know, just jacked. I mean, he just made, you know, Michael B. Jordan and others just look like small. Like, this dude was huge. But then come to find out, he admitted some time recently ago that he actually is on steroids. And he talked about, he's like, I'm sorry, guys, you know, I just feel so ashamed that I felt like I conned y'all. Like, well, you did, fam, you know? Like, you told me if I ate all this raw food, I'd look like you, and I'm eating all this raw food, it's just making me sick, you know what I mean? And I thought about that. I was like, man, isn't that just like everything that's going on today? Where people are presenting themselves as one way and boasting one thing, but in all actuality, have no credibility at all. You got people who talk about how to be a faithful Christian, but their lives look just like culture. Like, just no different at all. People claiming to have this knowledge and this wisdom and wanting you to follow their advice and their expertise, but it has not truly been tested. And let me help us understand something, family. Any advice that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted. If it hasn't been tested, it cannot be trusted. And what we see in today's time is you got people who claim to be self-proclaimed experts and people that you can trust just simply because they got a YouTube page and they got a TikTok and they got a Facebook and they got an IG, and it's like, man, I'm official. And it's like, no. Just because you got a platform does not necessarily mean that you are solid. Haven't built anything credible, sustainable, valuable. And instead of adding value to people, they diminish it. I found this from Pastor Eric Mason. He pastors the Epiphany Fellowship. And he shared this recently, and I saw it. I was like, man, this is so connected to what we're talking about today. And I got this quote, and I put it up on the screen for you. Here's what he says. One of the things that I noticed is that people listen to folks as experts who have no know-how or experience or solid worldview. These relationship podcasts are toxic. Why are people listening to folks give advice on finding a mate and talking about what the opposite sex wants, and they aren't married, don't have a successful relationship, or not in a healthy relationship? He says, you got people out here giving advice that they themselves don't even believe in. But the reason why they're doing it is because they know that people are feeding into it and people are looking for it and are using it as a form of exploitation. And we live in a time, y'all, where if we're not careful, we can find ourselves digesting things from places and platforms and sources that are not credible. We live in a time where if you just got a nice camera and you just got a nice sound background, if you got a following of any kind, then that all of a sudden makes you credible. Can I help you understand something? Everything that sounds good isn't always sound. Just because it sounds good does not make it sound. It doesn't make it reliable. It doesn't make it trustworthy. So let me help us understand something. You can't believe every trending and viral video. Because just because it's viral doesn't make it valid. I can't believe every single video that pops up on IG and every video that pops up on YouTube. I can't believe everything. Because everything that's out here is not necessarily solid. Sound. When I think about that, I think about John chapter 10. Because here in John chapter 10, Jesus is having this conversation, as we talked about last week, but to give us a little bit of a refresher on what's going on. He's having this conversation with these religious leaders, Pharisees, if you will, who claim to be these people who were extremely zealous for God. They knew a whole lot about the word and this, that, and the third, but their lives did not match it. Matter of fact, Jesus would call them really crazy names. He would call them names like, you brood of vipers. He would call them whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, it's dry. You have nothing of substance. And this is the type of conversation he was having with them. And they were constantly coming at him because Jesus was making these claims of who he is. I am the door. I am the gate. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the light. I'm the bread of life. He's making all these claims. And he's essentially saying, hey, I'm God. I'm him. I'm the one that you've been talking about. You pour your lives out all over the scriptures, not realizing that the scriptures all point to me. And he's having these conversations with them, and they're not receiving it. And they're having this clash, if you will, and it gets to this point where Jesus here in John 10 says, as we talked about last week, I am the gate, or I am the door. But right after that, now he says, I am the good shepherd. But before we can appreciate what he says here about I am the good shepherd, you got to look at what he says next in verse 12, because he contrasts the good shepherd with what we would argue as not good shepherds, not credible voices. And he says this in verse 12, the hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, he leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. Then he says next, this happens because he is a hired hand and he doesn't care about the sheep. And then you look at the next verse as Jesus continues to talk about it. He says, he doesn't own the sheep. He leaves them and he runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf snatches and scatters them. This happens because he's a hired hand. He doesn't care about the sheep. Over and over, Jesus is giving this contrast and talking about him being a good shepherd. But he contrasts that with being with shepherds that are not good, or with hired hands. Hired hands, y'all, were people who gave the impression that they were trustworthy, but in all actuality were not. They were people who may have been paid to watch over the sheep, but they really, in all actuality, had no vested interest in the sheep. They exploited the sheep for what they could gain. And so because of such, they had not only exploited the sheep, but they endangered the sheep, and they also exposed the sheep. And these hired hands that Jesus is talking about, it speaks in that context of these Pharisees and other religious people who claim to be one thing but were something different. But I also believe that that principle still applies today, because we have voices and we have influences in our day and in our time who claim to be one thing but are actually something completely different. They claim to be trustworthy, but in all actuality cannot be trusted. What they're saying can't really be believed. They're not adding value. They're actually taking value away. And what happens now is these voices, just like in this text, that can't be trusted in value because they get believed in, and because we may sometimes believe in them and trust in them, they leave us in this place of being compromised and being uncovered and being in this unsafe position to be in. And if we can be honest, I believe all of us in here have fallen prey to unqualified voices speaking into our life. We have listened to untrusted or untested voices and influences. Have you ever seen something on TV and believed something in TV? And I'm talking like you thought it was good, you thought it was solid, only to figure out you got conned. Anybody ever had that happen before? There's been plenty of times where I've gone to the mailbox and I've gotten a piece of mail and it says that this is a check in the amount of $1,000 or something like that for you, and it's got your name on it, and at first glance you're like, oh man, we good. But then when you actually open it up, you find out that there's a whole bunch of loopholes to it. It really wasn't a gift, it was a loan. There's many voices and many influences that are out here, ultimately trying to get us to drift, ultimately trying to get us to stray. And what Jesus is talking about here is he's helping us to see this difference between him as the good shepherd, which also now begins to imply that as he is the good voice, that there's also bad voices out here. There's bad influences out here. And we've all have been in a situation where maybe we've taken advice from non-credible sources and it led to disaster. If I were you, I'd do this. But if you listen to them and look at their life, they have a track record that should prove, don't listen to them. If I were you, I would take this job. But this person don't know how to keep a job. If I were you, I wouldn't stand for that. Well, that's the reason they don't have good friendships. Because they don't know how to endure some things and work through some things. Be careful of the voices that you listen to, the voices that you subscribe to, because everything that sounds good is not always sound. And just because it's viral doesn't mean that it's valid. And what Jesus wants us to see is that in the midst of there being false voices and influences that are aiming to direct us and lead us down some paths and lead us maybe to danger and difficulty in our lives, the text gives us hope. And it's found in these words. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Why is this good news? Because it's good news because it helps us to see in the midst, y'all, of there being bad influences, in the midst of all this type of stuff being out here, all these contending voices, we got something that is credible. More importantly, we got someone who is credible. And his name is Jesus. We got somebody who can actually be trusted over the noise that's in our culture. We got somebody who's actually an expert. He's been tempted in every way like us, the Bible says, but yet he did not sin. We have someone who knows how to love people even when you've been hurt by people. We have someone who's an expert in handling resources. They're an expert when it comes to relational issues. They're an expert when it comes to marriage. We have somebody who's an expert when it comes to dealing with conflict. We have somebody who's an expert when it comes to dealing with stress and dealing with trauma and dealing with pressures. We got somebody in Jesus who is an expert. He's credible. He don't just got a check by his name, he got a cross by his name. He's been verified. He is credible. While others may try to imitate, he is the originator. It starts with him. This is why he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. Here's what he's saying. I'm him. He's the one that we can trust. He's the one that we can hope in. He's the one that we can lean on. He's the one that we can go follow. He is the one that we can believe in. He is the one that we can go all in for. He is the one who has our best interests at heart. He is the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. He is the one who is always with us. He is the one that is trustworthy. He has been tested. He has been tried. And he has been revealed to be true, which is why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the good shepherd, family. Which means we can trust him. He is good. He is not somebody who just popped up on the scene. There's so many influences, all of a sudden, they weren't here yesterday, but all of a sudden they're up here. And it's like, man, what have you done? But if we check Jesus' record, what has he done? Oh, he's only fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. What has Jesus done? Oh, he's only walked on water when nobody else has ever done that. What has he done? Oh, he's only raised the dead and healed the blind and fed people and saved people and delivered people. When you look at his track record and you check receipts for Jesus, he got a long history of being verified and being valid. Thank God that in Jesus we got a good shepherd. Trustworthy. Depend on him. He's the true influencer who can lead us and direct us and look out for us. In Jesus, we got somebody who has us covered. He's going to look out for us. I want you to write this down, that the influencers of today, they want to get something from you. But Jesus, the good shepherd, wants to get something to you. Influencers today, it's always about trying to get this. I want to get your money. I want to get your follow. I want you to buy this. I was trying to sell you on something. But Jesus is like, I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm actually trying to get something to you, which is why John 10, he says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy from you. But he's come as the good shepherd to give you life and life more abundantly. He's the good shepherd, family, which means we can trust in him, which means we can depend on him. And why can we trust him and depend on him? Why can we lean on him? Because as the good shepherd, here's the first thing I want you to write down. He cares for us. He cares for us. Somebody say he cares. I like what Jesus says in John 10, going back to verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then right after that, he begins to talk about the hired hand. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, he leaves them. And he runs away when he sees a wolf coming. And the wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand, watch this, and doesn't care about the sheep. He's showing that the things that you think care about you actually really don't. He says, but there is one who does. And he is him, the good shepherd. He cares about you. He says, the hired hand, these other voices, these other mainstream voices, they don't know you. They don't care about you. But Jesus, the good shepherd, cares about you. The hired hand abandons the sheep when a threat comes. But Jesus, the good shepherd, says, I'm ride or die. I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you. Which means we can trust him when we find ourselves struggling with our sin, struggling with our struggles, struggling in our situation. He's trustworthy, fam. I can trust in Jesus as the good shepherd. Here's what Psalm 46 and 1 says. God is our refuge and strength. He's a helper who is always found in times of trouble. So here's the reason why this is good news for all of us, and here, myself included. If you find yourself in a troubled place right now, I want to let you know that you got a God who can always be found in your trouble. Whatever is troubling you, he has a solution for it. He's with you. If you find yourself in trouble, here's the good news. He's right there with you. How do I know this? Because when we look all throughout the scripture, and you look through Old Testament history, whenever God's people found themselves in trouble, God always pulled up. He was always present. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in a fiery furnace. Do you know who was there with them? God walking around the fire with them. When the children of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, were getting delivered from Egyptian captivity, the Bible says that God went before them as a fire by night and as a cloud by day. Whenever you find yourself in trouble, he's with you. He doesn't abandon you in times of affliction. He's trustworthy. Now, let's be honest. We know people who have said, hey, when it get rough, I got you. And there's been times where they promise one thing, but produce something completely different. There's been times where you've walked through some darkness, and the people that you thought would be there for you were not there for you. But I'm here to let you know that you got a shepherd who says, when you walk through darkness, you don't got to worry about me leaving you. I'm with you, never to leave you nor forsake you. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't got to fear nothing because I'm there with you. My rod, my staff, they're going to comfort you. They're going to give you strength. I'm there with you. He's the good shepherd. He's not going nowhere. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 7. Cast all your cares on him. Cast your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares about you. Which means that he cares about your grief. Some of you are grieving right now for different things. He cares about that. He cares about your pain. Some of you are in pain right now, mentally, spiritually, physically maybe. He cares about that. Some of you right now are dealing with stress of all kinds. I want you to know he cares about you. Some of you are dealing with difficulty right now. I want you to know he cares about you. And he cares about you so much that he gives this invitation and he says, cast your cares on me because he cares about you. Because in Jesus, we have a God who cares about the cares of our life. I'm going to say it again. In Jesus, we got a God who cares about the cares of our life. Well, let me say it like this. If it's on your mind, it is also already on God's heart. The thing that you are losing sleep about, the thing that you are dealing with, I want you to know, it's on the heart of God right now. The thing that you are worried about, the thing you're stressed about, the thing that you're worried about whether or not it's going to work out, God says, I care about you enough. It's already on me. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm the good shepherd. So I want to encourage you with this. When you feel alone, God cares. When you feel overwhelmed, God cares. When you feel like life isn't worth living, God cares. When you feel stressed out, God cares. When you feel like you're by yourself and been abandoned, God cares. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he cares about our condition. And I just want to know, is anybody here that is grateful for the fact that we got a shepherd who cares about us, that he doesn't leave us when danger comes, that he doesn't abandon us when affliction comes, but we got a God who is with us, never to leave us nor forsake us. Here's the second thing I want to give us. He not only cares about us, because he cares about us, he also knows us. So Jesus says in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Now when Jesus says, I know my own, what he's talking about is, he doesn't just know about his sheep. He actually knows his sheep. Sheep represent people, represents us. He says, I don't just know about them. I actually know them. He's talking about relationship here. Because there's a difference between knowing about somebody and actually knowing somebody. So, like, I know about Denzel Washington, one of my favorite actors. I know about some of his most iconic movies. King Kong, I know. I know about that. Remember the Titans, I know about that. But I don't know Denzel personally. If he would have walked through these doors and I would have said what's up to him, he would say what's up out of courtesy, but would not know me from a can of paint, because there is no relationship. But Jesus is helping us to see, I don't just know facts about you, I actually know you. Like, I'm close to you. I'm connected to you. Former pastor and theologian Warren Wiersbe, who went home to be with the Lord some years ago, he says it like this, that God knows our names, he knows our needs, and he knows our natures. He knows our name, meaning that he calls us by name, that before he formed us in our mother's womb, the Bible says he knew us. He knows our natures. He knows the things that we struggle with. He knows what our proclivities are. He knows what causes us angst. He knows what causes us fear. He knows us, but he also knows our needs. He knows what we stand in need of. He knows where there's deficits in our life. He is knowledgeable, not just about us, but of us. And I love this, because as a good shepherd, Jesus cares for us, and he knows us. The Bible says this in Matthew 10:30, even the hairs of your head have all been counted. That is, y'all, very detailed information. The hairs on your head have been counted. He knows the very number of hairs on my head. I'm going to be really careful. Some of us might have more than others. Some of the hair that we might have, it may belong to us, it may not, but it's on your head, right? But he knows how many hairs it is. No matter how, what it is, no matter what it is, he knows. He knows. And I think that's fascinating. Because when I think about that, I think back to a conversation that me and Ariel, we were having yesterday, and we were sitting on the couch, we were talking about something, I can't remember what it was. And as we were talking, and I was like sitting on the couch in a certain way where I had my head kind of propped to the side, and she was sitting next to me, and so she kind of could look at my head, and she said, you got some gray hairs popping up there. I was like, huh, okay. And so she was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, what is this, Connect Four? So I was like, what do we... 7, 8, wait, whoa, we're going too far. Stop the count right here. She's like, are you gonna start dying it? It's like, no. Just gonna let it all come in. Gray hair is a crown to the splendor, the Bible says. I'm just gonna let it flow. But how can she count those gray hairs that are here that I try to deny? She has to be close. She can't count them if she's not close to them. So when Jesus says, the number of hairs on your head have been known and been counted. What does that teach us about God? That he's close to us. He sees us. He knows about us. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me, because what it helps me to receive and realize is that God cares about the most minute details of my life. There is hair follicles that I can't even see, that you got to get a magnifying glass to be able to see. God knows about them, and God sees them, and God is aware of them. Why is that encouraging me? Because it lets us know that not only does God care about us, he cares about the deepest, smallest detail, every fabric of my life. He cares about us, family. And he knows. He's aware. Which means this: that you and I don't have to be afraid, because he's knowledgeable of us. Here's what Psalm 139 says: Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and rest. You are aware of all my ways. And before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it. Ain't that crazy? That before you even say a word, Jesus knew that word. He was aware of it. And you have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. Why is this good news? Because before we ever came to know Jesus, Jesus has always known us. Before I formed you in your mama's womb, I knew you. That's what he says in Jeremiah and Jeremiah 1. I knew the calling that I had on your life. I knew the destiny that I had for your life. Some of us walk through these doors, and you're watching online right now, and you've been wondering whether or not God cares about you. You've been wondering whether or not God loves you. You've been wondering whether or not you got a purpose, you got a future. I'm here to let you know you do. Because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has already planned it. He's aware of it. Everything that happens in your life, he is not ignorant of. He is aware of. Everything that you've ever dealt with, he is aware of. Which means this, family. You and I don't got to stress out any longer about the things that are stressing us out. Because if he knows about it, what I've realized, family, is if he knows about it, if he knows about my need, if he knows about my condition, if he knows about my hang-ups, if he knows about my difficulties, if he knows about my struggle, if he knows about my fear, if he knows about my insecurities, that means he has the ability and the wherewithal to do something about it. Which means this: I don't got to lose sleep anymore over how something is going to work out, because if my God knows about it, then clearly he's going to take care of it. I don't got to worry about any longer what's going to happen next week, or what's going to happen next year, or what's going to happen next month. No, my God knows about it, so I'm good. Because he's the Good Shepherd. Which now leads to this third thought: that he not only cares about us and knows about us, he knows us, but he also gives to us. So look at what he says in verses 15 through 18. He says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. And then there will be one flock, one shepherd. When I think about that, my mind goes to Drumline. One band, one sound. Some of y'all don't get that reference. It's okay. This is why the Father loves me, he says in verse 17. Because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down. And I have the right to take it up again. I don't know about y'all. When I read this, y'all, this is the biggest flex of Jesus. Like Jesus is saying, I got power to lay this thing down and to pick it up when I'm ready. That is gangster. He says, nobody can take my life from me. These Romans that's going to put me on this cross in a few days, they think they're taking their life. No, I'm letting them do that. Oh, that's so gangster. And he says, I have received this command from my Father. But I love what he says in verse 15. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says this over and over. He says about three times just in these few verses alone, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. This is so significant, family, because last week I shared this, and I'm going to share it again just in case we weren't here, just in case we forgot. Whenever shepherds would lead their sheep into the sheep pen, the shepherds would always lay down at the entrance of the sheep pen. They would become essentially the gate or the door. So in other words, to get into the sheep pen, you would have to go through them. They were literally willing to put their lives down on behalf of the sheep for the sheep's well-being. So when Jesus said last week, I am the gate and I am the door, he's once again bringing back this imagery. It's all in the same conversation. We just broke it up into 2 weeks. He's saying the same thing here. He says, I am willing to lay down my life for you. Let me modernize it. I'm willing to take a fatal bullet for you. That's how much I love you. I'm willing to put my life on the line for your well-being. Just as the shepherd is willing to put himself in harm's way for the well-being of the sheep, he says, I'm willing to lay down my life as a sacrifice on the cross. This is what he was alluding to. On the cross for your sins and for the sins of the world. Why is it so important? Because the Bible says that all of us were born into sin and shaped in iniquity. If there's one thing that you and I know how to do well that nobody had to teach us, was sin. You ever notice, like, there's no book that says Sin for Dummies? Like, nobody had to teach you how to lie. You ever wanted that? You didn't have to teach if you got young kids. We never taught our kids how to do that. Nobody had to teach you how to be mean. It just came naturally. You know, it's called sin. And the Bible says that we're shaped into sin. We're born into sin, and we're shaped in iniquity. And then the scripture also says in Romans 3 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means this, if there's one thing that you and I know how to do, it's sin. We've all done it. But the Bible also says, but the wages of sin is death, which means this, that every time you and I sin, we are running up a debt that we don't have the capacity to be able to pay. We got to pay for it with our own life, which leads to now eternal separation from God, where we got to die for our own sin. But Jesus says, I love you so much that I don't want to be in eternity without you. I am willing to lay down my life and pay the sin debt for you that you can't pay for yourself. You ran up the credit card bill of sin. You did your own thing, but I'm willing to sacrifice so that way you would know me. He lays down his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for us. He's giving his life as a sacrifice. In a moment, we're gonna worship God through communion. And one of the things that Jesus says when he's with his disciples, he said, this is my body, which has been given for you. This is my blood, which has been given for you. Jesus, as the good shepherd, he gives to us. He gives us his love, and he gives us his life. And it's interesting because here in verse 16, he says this, I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. What is he talking about? Here he's getting at this Jew and Gentile thing, because back in these times, Jewish people weren't really thinking about non-Jewish people. And Jesus is saying, I didn't just come for people of Jewish background. I came for people of all backgrounds. All colors, all creeds, all backgrounds. I came for all people. I am so glad that Jesus does not put a premium on who can receive his love and who can receive his life and who can receive his forgiveness. This is why as a church, we say that we are a church for all people, because in heaven, there is no division. In heaven, there is a section for everybody, and it's one family, and it's one flock, and it's one shepherd. So there won't be white people over here and black people over here and young people over here and older people over here. He says, no, in my family, all are together, all are one. We are all connected to the same shepherd because of what the shepherd did for us. He brings us together, and he came down to lay down his life for all humanity, because in God's family, there's room for all people. He says, I came to give my life as a ransom. This is what he says in Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to, watch this, give his life as a ransom for many. I want you to write this down, and I want you to get this in your heart. Jesus came to give his life to us and to give his life for us. That's why he came. He came to give his life to us, and he came to give his life for us. John 10:10, he says, I have come that you might have a life and life more abundantly. That is him giving his life to us. But then he also says here in Matthew 20, I have come to give my life as a ransom for many. Ransom is the payment. What is this payment for? Our sin debt. He says, I came to offer my life as a payment to cleanse you and I from all of our sins, to set us free from our stronghold, to set us free from our brokenness. I'm here to let you know that Jesus came to give you and I not just eternal life that impacts us for all eternity, but eternal life that impacts us right now. He says, this life that I'm giving you, it doesn't just have eternal implications, it also has earthly implications. It doesn't just impact us when we get to heaven. And a lot of times we have what I like to call this poverty theology, which has us believe that Jesus only cares about the eternal state of our soul, but does not care about the condition of our life. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because if that's the case, he wouldn't be healing people. If that's the case, he wouldn't be setting people free. If that was the case, he wouldn't be feeding 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. No, Jesus cares about our soul just like he cares about our stomach, just like he cares about our situation. Jesus cares about the totality of our lives because he is a good shepherd. Here's what 2 Peter 1 says. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Everybody say him. Who's him? He's him. He's given us everything we need. And a lot of times the enemy will convince you that you don't have what you need. I'm here to let you know if you got Jesus, you got everything you need. But Pastor, but I need more. Let me help you understand something. Until Jesus is enough, nothing else will ever be. Jesus says he is the all-sufficient one. He says in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you. If I got Jesus, I'm good. But Pastor, what you going to do about bills? He's the one who feeds 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I'll be straight. But Pastor, what you going to do about your body? I got the God who is able to not just make the body, but heal the body. But Pastor, what you going to do about this? I got the God who is able to work things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. If I got Jesus, family, I'm good. And what I've learned, y'all, is I have said and made up in my mind, and I have to remind myself every day, I am not going to stress out any longer about things that Jesus has authority over. If we can celebrate him being a risen Savior, why are we losing our minds about everyday things that come towards us? I'm preaching to myself. How are you going to sit up here and talk about we dance on an empty grave and then somebody cuss you out tomorrow and you lose your mind? Come on, can we keep it 1,000? Like, how am I going to sit up here and talk about Jesus overcame all things, but I'm here sweating trying to figure out how he's going to take care of this bill? That's kind of an oxymoron. How am I going to say, God, you are the God who provides, but then stress out? You know what I heard somebody say? Worry is faith in reverse. It is faith in the wrong thing. All of us got faith. The question is, where is your faith? I can prove to you that all of us got some bit of faith, because when you came in this room, you sat down in this chair. That takes a measure of faith, because you didn't inspect those chairs before you came in here. That's a measure. All of us got faith. The question is, where is our faith? And when we're stressed out and when we're worried and when we're filled with all this anxiety trying to figure out how's this going to work out, how's that going to work out, it reveals maybe where we place our faith. Is it in the Good Shepherd? Or is it in all these other influences around us? But Jesus says, I got you. I got you covered. Y'all, this is, look in the Bible. The disciples were on the boat with Jesus. This ain't even part of my notes. I feel like somebody needs it. They were on the boat with Jesus, and a storm pops up, and the disciples are going crazy because they're like, Jesus, it's like a hurricane out here, fam. Typhoon out here, dog. It's a Cat 5 out here, homie. And you at the bottom of the boat, sleep. Don't you, watch this. This is what he said. Don't you care about us? Jesus is in the bottom of the boat, dried up drool on his mouth. Sleeping, good. I wonder what Jesus' snores sounded like. Because he probably got really good sleep. Because he knew who he was. When you know you him, you don't get stressed out about everything else. How do I know this to be true? How do I know he slept good? They were in a storm and he's knocked out. Sleeping. Snoring. And they're frantic. They're losing their minds. Jesus, don't you care about us? There's a storm. We're going to lose our lives. And he says, where's your faith? Hey, yo, Wynn, chill out. That's my version. That's Pastor Edwin version. Hey, Wynn, y'all settle down. Settle down over there. Go somewhere else. And the Bible says the storm subsides. And the disciples were amazed. Who is this man? Who is he? That even the winds and the waves obey him. Who is this man? He's him. He's the good shepherd. And if you got the good shepherd family, you don't got to be worried about how things will work out. Because he's got you covered. And I feel like some of you online and in person, y'all need to hear this today. Because you've been walking through this week and you've been walking through these past few months and been walking through this year and you've been wondering, does Jesus care anything about me? I'm here to let you know he does. I'm here to let you know he's got you covered. But Pastor, I just received this diagnosis that really is sending me in a spiral, and I don't know what's going to work out, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what's going to happen either. I don't know how it's going to work out. But what I do know is I know the God who is able to do more than enough. I know the God who will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. I know the God who says, if you come to me, I will give you rest and I will give you peace and I will settle your fears and I will settle your anxious thoughts. We got a God in Jesus as the good shepherd. He is the giver of peace. He is the giver of joy. He is the giver of hope. He is the giver of fulfillment. He is the giver of forgiveness and salvation and assurance. I can trust in him and I can lean on him. I want to close with this thought. We're going to do communion in just a moment, but I want to encourage us with these words and let us know today that in Jesus we got somebody who is the good shepherd. He's promised to cover us. He cares for us. He knows of us. And he gives us what we need. In John 10:17, he says, I lay down my life. But then he says this, so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. And look at verse 19. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words, and many of them were saying, he has a demon, and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? There's a lot of voices right now that are contending. Why should you even give Jesus a try? Why listen to him? He's fake. He's not real. Nah. He is. Watch what the people say next. Others were saying, these aren't the words of someone who is demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And the answer is no. Only this guy can do that. He's got you covered. When Jesus says, I lay down my life and I take it up again, he's speaking of his resurrection. He's speaking of the fact that I love you so much that I lay down my life for you, but I got so much power that I can bring it back up again. He's helping us to see that he has authority over all things. He has us covered, church family. I want to leave you with these words of encouragement to let you know that if Jesus can lay down his life on the cross for our sins and get back up out of the grave on the third day, he is here to let us know that he's got us covered. He will cover all of our sins. He will cover our shame. He will cover our stronghold. He will set us free from the things that we are dealing with. Jesus is for you. He is not against you. He has plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Through him, you are able to do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You got a God named Jesus. He is the good shepherd. He will take care of you. He will love you. He will cover you. He will provide for you. And I just want to know, is anybody grateful here today that you got a shepherd in Jesus, that you don't got to lead your life any longer? You don't got to direct your life any longer. If you follow him, he will take care of you. If you follow him, he will provide for you. If you follow him, he will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. And I want to ask you this simple question today. What voice are you trusting in right now? What voice are you following right now? Are you following the voice of Jesus? Are you following him? He is the ultimate influencer. Or are you following culture? Are you trusting in your own strength? Or are you trusting in him? Are you doing it his way? Or are you doing it your way? Because Jesus says here, the hired hand abandons the sheep when danger comes. I want you to know danger is coming. You keep living long enough, you're going to get hit with a lot of stuff. But Jesus says, if you got him, you got everything you need. Protection. Provision. Peace. David says this in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some translations say, I have everything that I need. Why? Because I got the shepherd. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He says this, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I got the good shepherd with me. And I'm here to let you know, the family, you ain't got to follow these voices that aren't the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is verified. He is qualified. He is proven. He is trusted. And I take this so seriously, even as a pastor, because as a pastor, that word pastor means to shepherd. But even as a pastor, I recognize that, like, I'm not the shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. My job is to help connect you to the good shepherd. So, like, my job is not to get you to follow me. My job is to get you to follow Christ. Because it's going to be a damn time where everyone is not here. But you know who will be here? Jesus. Follow him. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, follow me as long as I'm following Christ. Because if you follow me and I'm following Christ, you're going to get to Christ. He says, follow the shepherd. Follow the leader. He is the good shepherd. And in him, we have everything that we need. With heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. Maybe you're here this morning, this afternoon, you're online, depending on when you're watching this, and you've been trying to go at life on your own. You've been trying to follow the ways of this culture, and you've been following this influencer, and you've been following that influencer, you've been following this voice, and you've been following that voice. Can I ask you a simple question? Are you following the voice, which is Jesus? Following the shepherd? Because until you follow the shepherd, you will find yourself in this constant position of being exposed, exploited, and in danger. But when you follow the shepherd, when you invite him into your life and let him lead your life, the Bible says that he leads you beside still waters. He leads you to green pastures. What does that mean? It means that he leads you to everything that you need. And some of you are here today in person and online, and you've never received the life of this good shepherd. You've never said yes to the good shepherd. I'm here to let you know that today can be the day where you say yes to him, where you give him your life. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, today I want to give my life to the good shepherd. I want to receive him as my Lord. I want to receive him as my Savior. I want to invite him into my life. I want him to lead my life. I want him to direct my life. If this is you today, I want you to say these words after me. It is a prayer of faith and confession. Would you say these words? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, be my Lord. Thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being with me. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we bless God?